The premise I'd like to use today in understanding the experience of the Seder nights and understanding what we're supposed to try to inculcate within ourselves and within our children and those who are found at our Seder table is found in a wonderful insight of Rav Schwab in the book Rav Schwab on Prayer. And Rav Schwab notes, he says, from my earliest youth, I remember that the children would ask each other on the first morning of Pesach, and this is something that's not only true of children, it rings a bell with all of us. And the question is, how long did your Seder last? He said, this was true in my youth, and is still the case today. And he notes, if the children were to ask me this now, I would answer them. I made sure to eat the afikoman before midnight, and according to some poskim, some authorities, even the recitation of the Hallel should be completed before Chatzot. I must point out that the present-day practice, in which all the children read from their prepared sheets, which they received in school, is not exactly in accordance with the mitzvah of V'igadet Levincha, and you shall tell your children. The children have started a new mitzvah of V'igadet Levicha Olimecha, you shall teach your father and mother, which makes it extremely difficult to reach the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, the eating of the matzah, and certainly the Afikoman before Chatzot. And it continues by saying, rather than discouraging the children from actively participating, they should keep the remarks brief so the father or the other leader of the Seder can read the text of the Haggadah and explain the miracles of the Exodus. The children should be encouraged to say their Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, during the meal of their time, or otherwise during the daytime meals of Yontif. And he notes, and this is what's so key, he said, these good vortlach, these small, short pieces of Torah are very nice. But the key of the Seder night is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, a mitzvah from the Torah, to retell to one's children the events surrounding the exodus of Egypt. And that's where the key has to be of this evening. And the children should be encouraged to ask any question relevant to the exodus from Egypt. Let's try to understand Rav Schwab's point because I think it's an important point. Sometimes in the Seder night, and there's a tremendous amount of excitement, and it's a tremendous amount of preparation that the children put through in their Seder experience learning at school, that we become so involved in every child giving over a small vort, a small piece of the Haggadah, and that we're stopping at every couple of lines to give over a cute little idea or a deep little idea, that we get so caught up in the trees that we forget the forest, so we forget to understand what is the experience of the Pesach night. What is it that we're trying to come out with? If our whole Seder just surrounds these small vortlach, so then our Seder becomes an experience of Lima Torah, of learning Torah, which is a wonderful experience, which is part and parcel of the mitzvah, but we lose out on the essence of the mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of the Igarta Levincha, of a father telling his child about the experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the experience of leaving Egypt, and what that experience entails in terms of Avodas Hashem, service of God, that we can be able to fulfill the Megamah, the goal of the evening, where every person has to see themselves as if they left Egypt personally. And therefore, one should encourage one's children to speak, and one should definitely have these Divrei Torah during the meal. So often you have everyone involved during the Haggadah recitation saying over their ideas, and it comes the mealtime and people talk about whatever, and this is a perfect opportunity for the children then to fill in what was missing. Or during the days of Pesach themselves, there are many meals that the children can offer their insights. The Pesach Seder night has to be a night where the parent is really almost like a teacher with a prepared lesson plan. The parent has the goal of the evening of trying to get across to the children a certain sense of Yetziat Mitzrayim and to encourage an active participation in the children. Perhaps the parent can turn the tables upside down and ask children questions and ask them to look in their notes and based on what they learned, did anyone have an answer? Did their teacher, did their Rebbe, did their Mara give them an answer to the following question? Or perhaps you want to think of your own question. And to give prizes to children and to encourage children that they should become actively involved in the essence of what the Seder is about. The question then becomes, well, what is the Seder about? And clearly, the leader of the Seder is going to channel this answer depending on who their audience is, to have little children at the Seder, to have older children, to perhaps have no children but have other guests, to have guests and children. A person's going to have to balance, really a balancing act of what is going to be the way they're going to get across what the Pesach experience is about. What I'd like to try to work through today is, what is our end goal? What is the aim that we're trying to achieve, that then a parent can decide, how am I going to present this aim? How am I going to present this goal, in particular to the audience that I have sitting at my Seder table? I think that the overall goal and aim of what the Seder night is about, the Seder experience is about, is found in a wonderful essay of Rav Isaac Breuer in the art school book, Seasons of the Soul. And Rabbi Breuer says the following, and I quote, "Every year there returns a night in the life of the Jews that is set aside for the Jewish father to explain to his children the meaning of being a Jew." I think that one line encapsulates what the forest picture is all about. This night is pervaded by the spirit of a living nation of indestructible vitality. There resounds in it the sad plaint of a nation tried by suffering, surrounded by enemies, the proud triumphal song of a nation never defeated, outlasting all peoples and empires, and the hymn of praise of a nation close to its God, happy in misfortune, certain of its future. He knows the nature of Judaism, who has grasped the meaning of this night, the Pesach night, the national night of Judaism. I think this insight of Rav Breuer is such a key insight. The night of Pesach is a night of Jewish identity. It's a night where a Jew understands what it means to live history, to have a relationship with God, and to be triumphant. It's not only a night that specifies the Exodus of Egypt, although that is the key core of the night, but it's a night that we say, it's a night where God has been with us in every generation that's tried to destroy us. We nevertheless have been able to overcome, and God saves us from their hands. This is a night of praising God. It's a night of feeling the heartbeat of Jewish history. It's a night of Jewish identity. It's a night of leaning, of feeling the pride of Jewish royalty, of the Am HaNifchar, the chosen nation. And Rav Breuer continues, it is from his own experiences that the father tells his children. He does not speak to them as an individual, weak and mortal, but as the representative of the nation, bearer of its national history, demanding from them the loyalty to be expected, not by him indeed, but by the nation looking to its members. Woe unto the child who turns away in this night of national reflection, in a spirit of superiority, objecting to the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. What does this service, which you may have made sense for your ancestors, mean to you and not to him? As he withdraws himself from the nation, you too should exclude him. As it is said, for the sake of the Pesach service, God did this for me when I departed from Egypt. For me, but not for him. Had he been in Egypt, he, in his disloyalty, would not have been redeemed. This is a night of loyalty. It's a night of closing the chain across the thousands of generations, where father teaches child, child takes in this information to be one day the bearer of this to others as well. And that's why the climax, says Rav Breuer, is the Hallelujah. It's the praise to God. As he notes, join in the national anthem sung by King David in his hymn to divine government of history. History belongs to us, and so does the future. In Egypt, we vanquish the death that befalls nations. At Sinai, we receive the light which, wherever we turn, turns bonded into freedom, sorrow into joy, mourning into holidays, darkness into great light, Hallelujah. He who has ever lived through this Pesach night and has entered into its spirit cannot doubt that the Jews are a nation. And Rav Breuer concludes, He says, Judaism does not, in the manner of religions, aim to gain acceptance by convincing the individual, but by giving him, as a member of a nation, historical self-consciousness. You are my witnesses, exclaims the prophet Isaiah. The mere fact of your existence here and now is meaningless if you do not accept your past. Only one choice is left to you. If you affirm your history, it will give you a sense of being at home, even abroad. The pride of historic mission and the triumphant confidence in ultimate redemption, which you yourself will help to bring about. If, however, you withdraw from the historic sphere into which you were born, you will fall amidst the multitude of nations, without past or future, hammered and beaten, trodden down and crushed, until you cover the ground, dust of culture. This is the essence of what the Seder is about. This is a night where we begin clearly with retrospection of the past. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in Egypt. And the Pesach Seder moves from this level of retrospection to a level of introspection in the present to understand our historical destiny as part and parcel of the history, the experience of the past, as we look forward to Shvoch HaMatcha L'Goyim, as we open up the door of Elijah, anticipating the future redemption, as we move through the course of history, throughout the Seder night is an experience. It's to see the forest, not only the trees. It's the experience of a parent giving over to a child what it means to be part of this historic drama of the Jewish nation, what it means to have that special privilege to be a bearer of the torch, of being able to take the past, the present, and the future and join them together in an experience which is above time, an experience that unites all generations together to feel the pride in Jewish identity, to feel the pride in Jewish history, and to thereby feel that special connection to the one who has taken us out, the one who constantly guides us. It's the experience of gratitude, of the halleluka, of the singing of hymns and joy to God in thanksgiving for all that he has done and will continue to do to us as a Jewish people, as an individual, as part of this nation. This, my friends, to one level, is really the essence of what the Pesach Seder night is about. This is the theme, this is the heartbeat that we need to give over to the children, and in such a sense we feel as if now we've left Egypt, because past, present, and future all merge together within this feeling of pride and thanksgiving. The question becomes, how do we give this over? Question becomes, how do we find these themes within the Seder night, that we can develop this idea within the text itself, within what the Baal Haggadah, the compiler of the Haggadah, is trying to convey to us, for us to convey to others? And I think that there are two major themes that we can find within the Haggadah, within the explanation of the story, that really form the bedrock of this theme, that really give us the direction for us to feel the sense of Jewish identity and spiritual identity. The key structure of the Haggadah, we know, is found in the Talmudic statement, which says, we begin with shame, matchilim bignut, umisayimim b'shevach, and we conclude with praise. The Gemara Pesachim knows that there is a machloket, there's an argument between Rav and Shmuel. What is the shame and what is the praise? Rav maintains the shame is that originally our fathers were idolaters, and Shmuel counters with we were slaves in Egypt. This difference of opinion goes to the heart of our celebration on Pesach night. Rav Rifkin, the Passover Haggadah, explains that Rav says that our fathers were idolaters, and on Passover we celebrate our liberation from idolatry. The real shame in Egypt was not the physical servitude, but the spiritual enslavement. The Jews were so strongly influenced by the idolatrous practices of the Egyptians that they did not truly believe in their God. The triumph then celebrates of being set free to become worshippers of the Almighty God. Shmuel holds, however, that the real shame is the physical enslavement and the degeneration of the human personality, and thus we celebrate is our physical emancipation. And the Haggadah combines both opinions, therefore imparting the lesson that our shame was both the physical as well as the spiritual enslavement, and then in the end we rejoice over our physical freedom as well as our newfound nearness to the Almighty. We begin the Haggadah nevertheless with the position of Shmuel, we were slaves into Paro in Egypt. This discussion of Matzchil and Biknud and Musayim Meshevach has these two components that we were speaking about. There's this physical enslavement and this physical emancipation, this aspect that we are the chosen people, we are redeemed, we are the people that God has chosen. And you also have the spiritual element, is that now that we are chosen and we are close to God, we have an obligation to serve God and to show appreciation for what God has done. But this argument between Rav and Shmuel can be seen even on a deeper level. I think this deeper level sets up for us the pattern to really understand what we need to give over, the themes in the Night of the Seder. This deeper level is found quoted in the Shlomo Rebbe Zatzal and the Nesiva Shalom. The Nesiva Shalom begins with a tremendous insight even before we understand the distinction between Rav and Shmuel. He asks a very basic question. He says, if tonight we are celebrating the fact that God redeemed us from Egypt, and the predominant themes of the evening is the redemption, although we speak about how we were afflicted, it's really to see the affliction in terms of the ultimate redemption. It's not to focus on the affliction as affliction in of itself. And the best proof of this is that when we speak about Rabban Gamliel says that whoever did not say three things has not fulfilled their obligation, and they are Pesach, the sacrificial lamb, Matzah, and Maror, we would have anticipated Maror coming first, because Maror represents the bitterness. Not, it should have been Maror, then Pesach and Matzah. But the fact that Rav Gamliel puts it in this order of Pesach, Matzah, and then Maror, is to show that the focus of the evening is really Pesach and Matzah. Maror is the component of the evening, but it's not the focus of the evening. The focus of the evening is the redemption. The focus of the evening is the gratitude toward God. So having said this, so why do we begin with the Gnut? Why do we begin with the negative at all? Let us just begin with the Shevach, with the praise, where God took us out of Egypt, and or that we now have come close, V'achshav kirvanu makom lavadato, we've come close to the service of God. So the Nesiva Shalom makes a fascinating point, a wonderful insight. He says the Gnut itself, the negative aspect, whether it was we were enslaved or we were idolaters, shows us the tremendous love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. The negative component itself, in a certain sense, is a Shevach, is a praise. Because we look at this nation, whether we understand it physically as physical enslavement, or we understand it as spiritual enslavement, that they were on the 49th level of Tumah, of impurity. And nevertheless, God takes us out. Nevertheless, God decides to have a relationship with us. That shows us so clearly that the relationship of God to His people is not dependent on the fact that we are these righteous people. It's not dependent on the fact that we look pretty, we look good. But rather, even in the Shafel HaMatzav, even in the most lowly position, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still chooses us, He still wants to have a relationship with us. It is clearly, as the Mishnah and Avos points out, in Ava Tluya Bedavar Betela Ava Betela Adavar. If love is going to be dependent on a physical matter, if the love is going to be dependent, in this case, on our not being on a lowly spiritual or physical level, so no matter where we are at, no matter what levels that we sink to, we can always understand and appreciate that that love will never be broken. The love is not dependent on something physical. It's not dependent on a certain spiritual level. That love is not bounded by time or place. It's an eternal love. So by beginning with the matchilim viknus, by beginning with the negative itself is a positive statement of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. This is the theme of the evening, the theme of the chosenness of this Jewish nation, the theme of the eternal aspect of the Jewish nation, no matter how far we have sunk, no matter which levels we have reached and what situations we are in. The love of God, the fact that God chooses us, is eternal. It's not dependent on anything from our side. Then the Nesiv HaShalom continues and says that the argument of Rav and Shmuel can be understood on a deeper level as really being very similar, but having two different points as their points of departure. And he notes that when Rav says that the greatest negative aspect is the fact that we were idolaters, what he's saying is that the Shorash Shel Yehudi, the essence of a Jew, Hu Emunah, is faith. And therefore, the greatest gnut, the greatest negative aspect, the greatest shame you can say about a Jew, is they reached the levels where they lacked this faith, where they weren't able to hold on to this faith. According to Rav, the gnut, the shame is that we were lacking in emunah, we were lacking in faith. And according to Rav, according to Shmuel, with the gnut is that we were slaves, says in the Nesiv HaShalom, it wasn't only a question of being physical slaves, but similar to Rav, the shame was the fact that we were so enslaved in Egypt that we became almost part of the Egyptian culture. Meshubadim legamre lemitzrayim, that we took on the Klipat Mitzrayim, like the Ubar B'Meimo, we took on, like a child in its mother's womb, we became totally surrounded by the Egyptian culture, Egyptian beliefs, that we sunk to the 49th level of impurity. And he says this shame is based on the fact that a Jew is by nature a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, that we are an Am Kadosh, that we are a nation that is a chosen nation that has a certain national identity. And this is to some extent, not 100%, but to some extent, because we still maintain certain aspects of our Jewish identity, but to some extent, this is what we lost in Egypt. These are the two keys, explains the Nesiv HaShalom, that Rav and Shmuel are trying to give over. These are the two keys of the Seder night. It's the key of Rav, that we are a nation that has inherently the aspect of emunah, the aspect of faith, and this is the key to focus in on developing ourselves as a nation. And Shmuel holds that the key of the Jewish nation is the aspect of Kedusha, the aspect of the Am Kadosh, the Am HaNifchar, that we are the chosen nation, that we are special unto God. And it's these two components, the components of having faith in God and the components of feeling ourselves as a chosen nation, that really form the bedrock of what the Seder night is about, what the Seder experience is about. They form the bedrock of giving over to our children that picture of the forest. Tonight we have to inculcate within them the aspect of faith, which is the core of a Jew, and the aspect of being the Am HaNifchar, the Am HaKadosh, the holy nation, which forms the second bedrock and core of a Jew for a person to feel this Jewish national and religious identity. And then Nesiv HaShalom concludes, you find these two elements in the experience of Egypt itself, with, as we say in the Haggadah, that God passed over us and he saw that the people were mitboseset bedamayich, that they were wallowing in blood. As the prophet Ezekiel says, v'amar lach bedamayich chayi, v'amar lach bedamayich chayi, and I will say you will live by this blood, you will live by this blood. And the repetition of living by the blood, our commentators explain, is a reference to the two bloods that were found in Egypt, the blood of the sacrificial lamb that was placed on the doorpost, and the blood of the bris milah, of the circumcision. And these two components represent these two aspects. Clearly, the blood of the Korban Pesach, The sacrificial lamb shows our emunah, shows our faith in God. We took the God of the Egyptians, we slaughtered it in front of their eyes, we placed the blood on the doorpost, openly, publicly. It's a statement of our faith in God. And the Dam Bris Milah, the blood of circumcision, clearly represents that we are the special nation, the insignia that makes us the Am HaKadosh, the holy nation that is set aside for God. This is the theme of the evening, the theme of faith, the theme of being special, that we need to give over to ourselves, to remind ourselves what is the fabric, what is the core of feeling the special feeling of Jewish history, of Jewish identity on this night of Pesach. It's a spiritual as well as a special status of the chosen nation that we need to feel on the night of the Seder. And it's interesting, before we develop each of these separately, very briefly, it's interesting that both of these ideas come to the fore at the very beginning of the Haggadah. As Rabbi Schwab notes in his book, Rabbi Schwab on Prayer, he says, at the very beginning of the Seder night, in the Avadim Hayinu, the father basically says to his child, you know why all these normally trivial matters are so important tonight? It is because tonight we have a special guest at our table. The guest is Ribono Shel Olam himself. Tonight is a night of God. Tonight God pays special attention to us. It's the Lel Shimurim, the night of watching. He comes to you. As he came to the forefathers on this night, he comes to you, the ensuing generation. It is only on one night a year or two in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, that we have this experience, and that's why it's so special. And when the Haggadah tells us that the Father retells in the opening paragraph of Avadim Hayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro in Egypt, by Yotzeinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, and God took us out of Egypt. So then, which is a verse from Deuteronomy, Dvarim, chapter 6, B'yad Chazaka, with a strong hand. So then the Baal Haggadah pauses away from the text, and he adds, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu, and God, our God, took us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And he says, why? He said, this is so because having reached the word Hashem, the Baal Haggadah interrupts and expresses the thought. Before we go any further, let us know that at the core of our faith lies the fact that our redemption was effected by God himself as Elokeinu. He personally redeemed us, b'chvodo b'atzmo, personally. Tonight is God's night. It is the night when we transmit the basic elements of our faith to you, the next generation. This is the way we set the tone of the Seder night. Vayotzeinu Hashem, and God took us out. Who is this God? He is Elokeinu. He is a personal God. He is the God who has chosen us tonight. He is the God who came down in Egypt and chose us as a nation. He's the God who reappears every Seder night and once again goes through the process of choosing us as a special nation. And he's the God who has a special relationship with us. He is Elokeinu, our personal God. These are the components of the evening. The component of faith, of feeling a personal connection with God, and the component of being chosen, that tonight is the Lel Shimurim, the night of watching, where God personally comes down once again and involves himself in choosing us as a special nation. I'd like to try to develop very briefly these two themes, the theme of Emunah, the theme of faith, as well as the theme of being chosen, that is found as the rubric of the thoughts on the Seder night. The theme of faith is something we've spoken about for many years now, because it really forms the whole fabric of the Seder night. It is the first piece of the forest we need to give over, that feeling of relationship with God, that we come out of this night feeling a little bit different about how our connection with God has to be reaffirmed and has to be deepened because of going through the experiences of Yetziat Mitzrayim. As the Nesiva Shalom points out, we've seen before that Pesach is called Chag Hamuna. It's called the holiday of faith. And it is known as the Rosh Hashanah Lamuna, the new year of faith, where the entire faith of a person is really affected by the level of faith a person reaches at this night. And that's why we have such an emphasis on speech at the night of the Seder. Because as we ourselves know, if any of us have ever experienced a experience of divine closeness, where you saw the hand of God so close in your own life, where you've been able to experience tangibly this feeling of acknowledgement of the hand of God, that has to be the aspect of the Seder night. The more we speak about that, the miracles that God did in Egypt, it has to bring within us this feeling of A, gratitude, and B, understanding of the specialness of God, and it has to allow us to feel a greater connection and a greater faith, a deepened faith in God. And in the past years, we've taken different elements of the Haggadah and seen how we see this aspect of faith being reaffirmed every year. And as we've noted in the past, the key element is clearly the Esther Makos, the 10 plagues. The whole focus of the 10 plagues and the mention of the 10 plagues at the Seder night is to see that God can control nature, that God is involved in nature. I'd like to add a different aspect within this rubric where we see the aspect of faith, where we need to inculcate this in a very simple medrash. And to give over this medrash to children or to the people in our Seder table to discuss this medrash is one way of bringing about this realization of how much we need to inculcate within ourselves this aspect of faith. Very famous medrash. Medrash says that in the first Makkah, in the first plague of blood, there's a great miracle that happened. That let's say you would have one cup of water with two straws in it. An Egyptian was drinking from one straw, and a Jew was drinking from another straw. Same cup of water. The Egyptian would drink, it would become blood, and the Jew would drink, it would become water. It's a very famous medrash. So on the simplistic level, what is the medrash telling us? It's telling us that God's in control of nature, that he can make for one person blood, and simultaneously he can make water. And that's one aspect of seeing the greatness of the hand of God. But it goes much deeper. As the Yalkut Lekach Tov notes, based on the Ur Safun, the Rebbe of Slobodka, as well as the Matnat Chaim, echoes the same idea of Solomon, where he says, we see from this Medrash, and what we need to give over, and this is what we need to embellish on the night of the Seder, are two key components in our understanding of relationship with God. One is that not only is God in control of nature, but that God is in control of nature b'chol rega v'rega at every single moment. Where it's not just a question where God at one time changed the water to blood, but rather at this very moment, seconds, where for one person it's going to be blood and for another person it's going to be water. That has to be a recognition that God is involved in the aspect of nature, that God is involved in the aspect of the creation of life at every moment and moment. I'll call Neshima and Neshima in every breath. That's the aspect of faith that we need to give over to the people at the Seder night. This is the aspect of the spiritual identity we need to speak about, where we need to inculcate within ourselves the aspect of faith at every moment of our lives, where God is involved in a careful hashkacha and a careful watching over to give every person what they need. And that's the second aspect. That this miracle happened for kol yachid v'yachid, for every individual. It's not that God does a miracle and whoever happens to be around then is involved. But God is looking over at this particular Jew and this particular Egyptian and creating a miracle for these individuals at this very moment. And that's how we have to look at the world. That the sun isn't shining in the world because the sun is shining. But the sun is shining in this world for me too. And that any benefit that I get in this world is because God wanted me to have this benefit. When I drink a cup of water, I need to understand that there's a miracle, that the water is water and not blood, and I need to understand that the water is here to benefit me personally, that this is a gift from God. And here's but one example where we need to try to take the Midrashim, to try to take the understanding of what the 10 plagues are about, to try to take the experience of the Yetziat Mitzrayim. This is what we need to speak about at the Seder night, to see how these components of faith is developed and embellished so that it becomes personal for us, that we see this Emunah Chushit, that the night of the Seder we have to try to make faith something that's tangible, something that we can hold on to, something where a child can say, wow, I feel that God is concerned for me. I understand that God is involved in my life at every single moment. That's the forest we need to come out with this evening. Not just a small Divrei Torah, but can a child and can an adult feel tonight that I feel as if God took me personally out of Egypt, that I have a personal relationship with God. This is the key component of what the night is about, to inculcate faith, to inculcate that spiritual identity of what it means to be a Jew and have a relationship with God. But I think we could take this one step deeper and one step further. The reason, one of the reasons why this component of faith is so important in the night of the Seder, that becomes the fabric of what the Jew is all about, and it becomes one of the motifs of the night of the Seder that we need to inculcate, is because this was the schus, this was the merit that allowed the Jews to be redeemed from Egypt. And I'd like to share a wonderful insight, once again from this book, Rav Schwab on Prayer, Rav Schwab's insights into the Haggadah. Schwab notes that when we speak about the son, who's a She'eno Yodei Lishol, he doesn't know how to ask, and we respond to him, Bavur Zeh, because of this, Asa Shem Li B'Tzeitim Mitzrayim, that God did this for me in Egypt. And as the Haggadah continues, it's important to say these things when you have Pesach, Matzah, and Maror in front of you. Says Rav Schwab, on a deeper level, perhaps the child isn't a child who doesn't know how to ask, but rather we're referring here to a child who does not know how enough to ask the right question. And the unasked question to which we're referring to is, with what schus, with what merit, did our forefathers merit their freedom from slavery and the exodus from Egypt? Because as we know, the Jewish people were also on a very low level spiritually at that time. As the angel said, Medrash points out to God, why should we split the sea for the Jews? Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. These people worship idols and these people worship idols. So to answer this question, is that our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt in the merit of their Emunah that God would redeem them. This is what it means, Bavur Zeh, because of this. And this is what he says, and it's absolutely fascinating. Where do we see the great emunah, the great faith of the Jews that made them worthy of being redeemed? So he notes that at the night of the Seder, the Jewish people sat down with three symbols in Egypt. They sat down with the Korban Pesach, a paschal lamb, to represent God skipping over the houses and saving the Jews, but they were going to eat this paschal lamb before Chatzot, before midnight, and this great miracle happened at midnight. So they're eating a symbolic lamb, the whole concept of Pesach, even before the miracle happened. They're eating the maror, the bitter herbs, which represent the servitude, and they're eating it while they're yet still slaves, which is a little bit odd. Like in a concentration camp, you don't need to be reminded of the bitterness. And here's the greatest chiddush. There's a whole question of what the matzah represents. The Baal Haggadah, Rabbi Gamliel, says that we eat matzah. Why? Because when we left Egypt, we were in such a hurry that we didn't allow our bread to rise, and therefore the matzah represents the unleavened bread. The problem with this, if you think about this, it's a fascinating question with many approaches, is that already many days earlier, at the beginning of the month, God commanded Moshe, you should eat matzah on this night. So they're eating matzah before they're being thrown out of Egypt, before they have to leave quickly. They have plenty of time to bake bread. Why are they eating matzah on the night of Pesach when the aspect of being thrown out of Egypt hasn't even happened yet? They don't leave till the next morning. Why are they eating matzah that night? So says Rav Schwab, all of this represents the faith that the Jews have of miracles that are going to transpire, and they live the evening as if they're already redeemed. They have the maror, they have the bitter herbs, as if they're recalling an event of years past. It's as if they feel themselves redeemed. They eat the Korban Pesach as if God already skipped over the houses when he hasn't even skipped over the houses. They eat the matzah, which was going to be a miracle that was going to happen the next day. That the Jews took out their dough, and although they traveled a great distance, God had them leave so quickly that their dough did not have time to rise. They'd almost like Kfitzas HaDerech, they went so quickly. This was the miracle that Rabbi Gamliel is speaking about. That the Jews left Egypt quickly, that their bread didn't even have time to rise. The eating on Pesach night is anticipation of the miracle that would happen the next day. Reflecting the great haste in leaving, although it did not yet happen. It was these three symbols that showed the Jews had faith that they were going to be redeemed. It's as if they've already been redeemed. And that experience of already being redeemed, that faith, that's Bavur Zeh. That's why we sit with Pesach, Matzah, and Maror in front of us. Or today we just have the shank bone as a representation of the Pesach. But when we have these symbols in front of us, what we are saying is that these symbols in Egypt represented the faith of the Jews. They represented that relationship with the Jews that they had in God. That's what we need to inculcate within us. Although perhaps we don't see the future redemption, we still believe it's going to happen. We are children of Maminim, B'nai Maminim, the whole fabric of the Jews, and that was the schus, that was the merit that they were redeemed from Egypt. That's the merit that we need to inculcate within ourselves. It's the aspect of faith, of knowing things will happen, even if you personally haven't seen it yourself. And that's why, just to end this idea parenthetically, says Rav Schwab, it explains that in our davening, for example, when we say the text of the bracha, Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead, we say, V'ne'eman ata l'chayot meitim, you are trustworthy to resurrect the dead. At the end of time, Tchias HaMeisim will occur. And we are so convinced that it will occur, that how do we end the blessing? Mechaye HaMeitim, you revive the dead in the present tense. As if we already witnessed the miracle of the dead rising from the grave. We speak about Bona Yushalayim, HaMachzir Shechinas HaLetzion. This is the whole fabric of what the Jewish people is about. That the power of faith is such that it converts the future into the present. The second aspect, very briefly, because the hour is late, that we need to give over in the forest picture. If the first is the aspect of Rav, of Emuna, the second aspect is the aspect of Shmuel, of Kedusha, of the Am HaNifchar, the chosen nation. And that's clearly found in the experience of the redemption itself. The Haggadah describes the way God came down, that the Eternal brought us from Egypt, not by a ministering angel, not by a fire angel, not by a messenger, but by God himself and his glory, to the Holy One, blessed be he, come. Explains Rav Wolbe in Alei Shur that this experience of God coming down personally was the experience of being chosen as the Am HaNifchar, as a chosen nation. We know, it's very interesting, that all the other plagues happen through a shaliach, through a messenger. And the Gra explains that the messenger was the plague itself. The messenger of dam, of plague of blood, wasn't Moshe or Aaron, but the dam itself was the shaliach, the dam itself was the messenger of God. And the Jewish people, who are on a higher level than the shaliach, than the messenger, were saved from each of these plagues. Every plague had a messenger. Every plague had some physical component to it that allowed the plague to happen. The dust, the animals. The only plague that does not have a shaliach, ani velo shaliach, ani velo malach, is the plague of Makas Becharos, the plague of the firstborn. And as the Netziv of Elushim points out, it's a very powerful Netziv, is that how did the firstborn die? Was there some type of plague? Was there some type, what happened? So he explains that we know that the firstborn children have a special affinity toward Kedusha, toward holiness. That's a well-known idea, and that's why originally the firstborn were the ones to serve God until Levi took over at the sin of the golden calf. What happened? When God himself came down, the Gilui Shechina, the revelation of godliness, at the time of that Chatzot HaLaila, the time of midnight on the night of the Exodus, at that point in time, the revelation of godliness was so intense that people who have an affinity or should have an affinity toward holiness sensed this presence of God, and since they were not on a spiritual level, they passed out, they died, from being able to sense this holiness and not being able to be receptacles, to be able to appreciate this and to be able to inculcate this within themselves. It was the Gilui Shechina itself, it was the revelation of godliness itself that caused the Egyptian firstborns to die. But it was this Gilui Shechina, this revelation of godliness, that God used as a positive force to show the Jews that at this moment, I am protecting you. You have no merit, as they had merit against all the other malachs, of Dam, of Sfardeya. They had no merit against God. At that point, God says, I am choosing you as a nation. I am going to be your special protection. The moment of God coming down in Egypt affected two things simultaneously. The death of the firstborn, and as Rav Wolbe says, Gilui Ashchina, this revelation of godliness, Hit'ached in Nishmoteim Shal Yisrael, combined with the souls of the Jews, V'nitgalela Hamasod HaGadol, Kikutsha Brichu V'Yisrael Chadhu, and God and the Jewish people became one. This was the moment of Jewish identity. It was the moment of Jewish history. It was the moment that we became the chosen people, as a people, not as individuals. It was the moment where God raised us to the highest levels. This is what we need to give over to the people at our Seder table. This feeling that Pesach is the time of Atah Bechartanu, God chose us. When God came down in Egypt, He embraced us, we became one with God, and from that moment on, we've become the special nation of God. It's this relationship with God that we find echoed so beautifully, as the Nesiva Sholem points out, as well as others, in the name of the holiday. What we call the holiday Pesach, which reflects God's love in choosing us. And throughout the Torah, the holiday is called Chag HaMatzos, which reflects God's appreciation for what we did following him with just the unleavened dough on our back. This is what love is all about. When we show our feeling of connection to God, God shows his connection, kivyachol, to us. It's the night of being chosen. It's the night of love. It's the night of connection. It's the night, as the Nesiva Sholem says, a bechinas erusin, the aspect of being engaged to God, of feeling this commitment to God. This is what we need to give over to our children. What it means to be God's special nation. What it means to be God's chosen people. The positive as well as the negative. But to be in any relationship, you have positive as well as negative. But we need to try to give over this bechina of Ava, this aspect of love. The night of the Seder. Well, most of the years, the Nisrusa Dilatata, when we have to work hard. The night of the Seder, the Lel Shimurim, the night of watching, as the Nisrusa Dila'ela, it's an awakening of above, to feel the love of God on this night, to feel what it means to be a Jew, to means to be somebody in partnership with God, in terms of being part of this historic nation, and to show our gratitude. The key of the Seder is the Hallel and the Hodah, to feel pride and gratitude in being part of this Jewish chosen nation. I think in conclusion, these two components of the emunah, the faith, and being chosen as a nation, which form the rubric of the Seder experience that we're trying to give over, the forest approach, is really found combined in the experience of the korech, of the hillel sandwich that we eat on the night of the Seder. Because Judaism is not only about speech, it's about action, it's about taking these ideas and trying to make them part and parcel of ourselves. We take the matzah, which represents, we know, the Sfarim HaKadoshim point out, it represents the food, the michla demnemnusa, the ochel ha'amunah, it represents the food of faith. And we take that with the maror, which clearly represents the bitterness of Jewish exile, but maror is always eaten with Pesach and Matzah, its bitterness in order for us to be redeemed on a higher level. We take the Matzah, which is a representation, and in the times of old, the Pesach as well, of faith. We take that with the maror, which represents the aspect of the bitterness of exile, the experience of being a Jew, which sometimes has this bitter aspect to it, but nevertheless is always combined. There's no mitzvah of eating maror by itself, always combined with redemption. We put the two together to say, let us ingest these concepts within us, that we are the special nation, we are a nation based on faith, and it's these two elements together that we have to walk out of the Pesach Seder feeling, that yes, we need to look at ourselves as if we left Egypt, that we have that level of emunah, that level of faith, we deepen that level of commitment as our forefathers did on that night of Seder by eating the Pesach Matzah and Maror, and we understand that we are the ones who have gone out of Egypt then, and we are ones involved in the historical drama of continuing in the past, present, and future all at once, who look forward to the ultimate redemption as well. It's a night to appreciate our faith. It's a night to appreciate us being chosen and special. And it's a night to show these two feelings in gratitude for God, as the essence of the Seder is about the culmination of Nishmat Kochai, that every living being will bless God, will thank God. It's the Hallelujah, it's being able to praise God for being able to be part of this wonderful nation and to have this evening that allows us to experience the specialness as a Jew, not only on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level as well.